You want to lay off the old self. It's laying aside the way you used to think before Christ. And it is putting on the new self, which is what God has revealed concerning himself and you in his word. And it is believing, accepting, and running this through and renewing your mind with his word.
Thanks for joining us for this weekend edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. Equipping the Saints is a daily radio outreach from Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, one of the most difficult areas for us to keep in check is our thought life. It's just so easy for the mind to wander off into dangerous territory.
You know, Dave, the mind is the battlefield where righteousness is won or lost. You see, our outward behavior begins with our thought lives. So learning how to take every thought captive is a crucial part for walking in godliness. So then with this in mind, today we're going to be exploring how to think rightly in every circumstance. Our text is Titus chapter 2, and we'll be looking at verse 12.
Well, thanks, Greg. And if you're new to Equipping the Saints, head over to our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org, to learn more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Our web address is simply etsradio.org. Now, with today's message, here's our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
The person of Christ is instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. That's the first part. To say no to those things that arise out of a lack of reverence for God and arise out of our will. And that covers a lot of stuff. We don't need to make a legalistic list of things that are worldly. We need to go to the basics, and there it is. God, by his grace through his word, is teaching us to say no to actions that are void of reverence and fear and worship and are contrary ultimately to his will, but are driven by our will. And at this point, I want to make sure that we recognize that this portion that we just looked at and did last week, the saying no, is integrally connected to what we'll look at today in the latter portion of 12. And I believe we're going to see that God, through Christ, is instructing us to say no so that we may live rightly, looking forward again to his coming. Verse 11, for the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. And here we go. Here's what we'll look at today. And to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus. So then here we go, beginning at the last half of verse 12. Now, as I shared earlier, we need to recognize in the NASB, the verb translated to live is not really what we would call an infinitive in English. An infinitive is how we would say, like, to live, to be, or to ever, whatever it might be. It's really a subjunctive. It really should be translated that we might live, that we may live. And that's the way the New King James translates it, and I really prefer that here. God is teaching us that denying these things, we might live this way. That's how we should live, right? But there's a very real possibility we won't obey and we won't live that way, right? That we might live that way. That is God's plan for us. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us literally that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, literally we should live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Now, as I studied this passage, I believe these three terms, sensibly, righteously, and godly, sum up in a nutshell what Christ is doing in the body of Christ right now, in his people. That's what he's doing. If you want to know what Christ is doing in his people, this is what he's doing. He's teaching us to deny sin and ungodliness that we might live this way. Three things, sensibly, righteously, and godly. And I believe we're going to see the term sensibly relates to our inward thinking, which certainly relates to the manifestation of our thinking, our behavior, which is how we behave towards others righteously. And the third speaks of our upward behavior towards God, the behavior that stems out of a reverence for him, godly. So then the grace of God right now in Christ is instructing us that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should first Let's take a look at the first one here. First, live sensibly. Now, for those of you who have been with us in the book of Titus, this is a very familiar term. But what does it mean? Let's review. We've seen it all throughout Titus. Here we have the adverb sophronos, modifying this idea of living. It's an adverb modifying a verb, that we might live then three specific ways. That we might live, and here's the first way that we might live sensibly, sophronos. Well, what does it mean? As we've seen before, the Greek word sophronos, translated sensibly here, originates from two words, sozo, which means to save, phron, which means mind, saved mind. It speaks of thinking sensibly, right thinking, sound judgment. It's translated in Scripture. 1 Peter 4:7, the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, sophronos, be of sound judgment. Be thinking right, because the end of all things is at hand. We see this word describing the demoniac that Jesus cast out the legion of demons. He was clothed and in his sophronos, right mind. One lexicon speaks of it strictly as having a sound, healthy mind, the ability to curb desires, impulses, so as produce measured, orderly life. The idea of being sensible speaks literally of thinking rightly or thinking sensibly. Instead of having our thoughts controlled by self, selfish desires, sin, anger, anxiety, wine, pleasures, Christ is instructing us now, having denied ungodliness, to think correctly. That's what God is doing in the church. He is instructing us to think rightly. And as we will see, from right thinking stems right behavior. From redeemed thinking stems redeemed actions as one yields to the Redeemer. Instead of having our thoughts controlled by self and sin, Christ is teaching us to think sensibly. Now, we've seen this word all throughout Titus. We see repeated throughout Titus good deeds, but we see even more so thinking sensibly. We see thinking sensibly. Titus chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, speaking of overseers. He says, "For the overseer must be above reproach as God's steward, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not addicted to wine, not pugnacious, not fond of sordid gain, but hospitable, loving what is good, and then sensible." Same word. Titus chapter 2, I'm just going to read through the verses there, and we're going to see the word is all over the place. "But as for you, speak things which are fitting for sound doctrine." Verse 1, "Older men are to be temperate, dignified, sensible." Same word. "Sound in faith, love, perseverance. Older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips, nor enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women," or literally, "that they may sophronizo the young women, call them to right thinking, so that they would love their husbands, to love their children, to be sophronos, sensible," same word again, "pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be dishonored. Likewise urge the young men to be sensible," same word, "in all things, show yourselves to be an example of good deeds, with purity of doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, in order that the opponent may be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us." What Christ is doing right now in the life of his children is instructing us to think rightly. If you think about it realistically, all of our issues come from wrong thinking, right? When we start to think wrong, we behave wrong. When we are not thinking the way God has ordained us to think through his word, we behave wrongly, we sin. Every believer is called to be thinking sensibly, thinking rightly, and thus living sensibly, and Christ is doing that in us now. But what is it that causes our minds to think right? Do I stand and say, think right, okay, think sensibly. How do I think right? We see in Scripture the gracious admonitions and examples concerning our wrong thinking before we were saved and what God does through his word to bring about right thinking. Turn back a little bit to Ephesians chapter 4 and we'll see how we are able to think sensibly as believers. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 17. He's already shared to the Ephesians that they are to walk in a manner worthy of their calling based on their salvation in Christ. Verse 17, this I say, therefore, and affirm together with the Lord that you walk no longer as the Gentiles walk, or that you live no longer like the Gentiles live. And he's going to explain how they used to live, how we, before Christ, used to live. He says, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding. Look at all these words that have to do with thinking. Excluded from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. It's all about their thinking, right? No life in Christ, thinking wrong. And then he says, ultimately we see their deeds that come from that. And they, having become callous, having given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But in contrast, you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed, he's going to say, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him just as the truth is in Jesus. And then he's going to explain it, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceits, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self. You want to lay off the old self. It's laying aside the way you used to think before Christ. And it is putting on the new self, which is what God has revealed concerning himself and you in his word. And it is believing, accepting, and running this through and renewing your mind with his word. That's what Romans 12 says. I read it to you earlier. Romans 12, verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're not transformed by the doing, you're transformed by the renewing, which produces the doing. False teachers come around and say, do this, do that, rather than be changed from the word of Christ. Be taught, equipped, and changed, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Jesus is teaching us to think sensibly. That's what he's doing. He's teaching us to think rightly. And folks, the Christian life is about right now thinking right. It is about the renewed mind that can now bring glory to God, that can offer oneself as an instrument of righteousness rather than sin to God. The Christian life is about giving ourselves up as living sacrifices with renewed minds, proving what God's will is. That's what Christ is instructing us to do right now. And I've stressed it so many times that our behavior stems from our thinking. We're responsible for both, but our behavior stems from our thinking. It's so simple, yet we ignore it so often. God's will for us in every circumstance and situation is revealed in his word. And when our minds are controlled by his word, by the power of his spirit, Christ will manifest his life in us in the practical behavior day to day. We have been given everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him and ultimately by his precious and magnificent promises, Peter would share in his second letter. And I think we need to remember and be reminded that Christ uses his spirit-empowered word, as we will see later, that which is at work in us to produce his will in our lives. Just as God used his word to bring us into his kingdom, he is using his word to make us like Christ. And if you are not right-minded, his word dwelling richly in you, then you are not going to be doing his will. Right behavior comes from sound doctrine manifest in a yielded heart to Christ. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us, literally, that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live sensibly. What's God's will for my life? Living sensibly. Let's start there. Living sensibly. And I want to ask you, are you of sound mind? We're all tempted not to be, right? We're tempted every day, multiple times a day, to think wrongly, right? We're tempted. Are you living sensibly? What is your thought life like? Is it intoxicated with ungodliness, those things that are done out of a lack of reverence and fear for God, thoughts and behavior? Is it intoxicated by worldly desires? Your will rather than God's will? Maybe even in Christian things. There's a lot of so-called Christians doing a lot of work for Christ, doing their will rather than what God has revealed. Are you intoxicated by thoughts that encompass these areas? Remember, right behavior stems from right thinking as God graciously in Christ, we can't do it, instructs us with His word and empowers us through His grace to do what He has said. So then what we see, first of all, what God in Christ is doing in the life of the believer now is by the means of His word instructing us to say no, that we might live sensibly, right thinking. And secondly, we see He also is instructing us that we might live righteously. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us literally that and denying ungodliness and worldly desires. Literally, we should live sensibly, and here's the second one, righteously. Live righteously. Now, the term translated righteously here is also an adverb. It is modifying the verb that we might live. It's how we might live. First of all, sensibly. Secondly, righteously. This Greek adverb, dikaios, comes from dikaios, which basically means upright, just, or right. It's just those things, and this is from God's standpoint, those things that are upright, they are right, they are just. From God's standpoint. It can speak of God, this word in Scripture, who judges uprightly or righteously, 1 Peter 2. We should entrust ourselves, continue entrusting ourselves to the one who judges righteously, same word. He judges uprightly. He judges rightly. Indeed, the thief on the cross recognized his punishment. The thief next to Christ, one of them, recognized his punishment of death was just and righteous before God. In Luke chapter 23, we see his words recorded. And he says to the other thief, he says, "Do you not even fear God since you are under the same condemnation?" Luke 23, and it's 39 and through 41. And in verse 41, he says, "And indeed, we justly," or righteously, "we deserve it. It's the right thing for me to be put to death," he is saying. And then he placed his faith in Christ. "Remember me when you come in your kingdom." And he said, "Today I'll be with you in paradise," she said to him. The word can also speak of upright behavior before men and ultimately before God. We see Paul's testimony to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 2. 1 Thessalonians 2:10. "You are witnesses, and so is God." He's speaking to the Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul. "How devoutly and how uprightly," or righteously and blamelessly, "we behaved or lived towards you believers." Behavior that is upright and right before men and ultimately before God. It is righteous behavior. Living righteously speaks of our behavior before men. Christ is instructing us to deny these internal things that will produce right thinking and then right behavior before man and God. We are to be living rightly. That's one of the reasons why God saved us, to live rightly. And He's instructing us right now, in every circumstance in your life, He is ordaining the trials, the circumstances, everything to instruct you through His word how to live rightly before Him and before men. That's what God is doing in your life. That's what He's doing. It speaks of right, just behavior. We are to be living rightly. This is what Christ is doing right now. The saving grace of God has appeared to all men, bringing salvation ultimately. And we know from Scripture that when we repented and believed in Christ, we were declared righteous. We were declared by God to be right because of Jesus. Romans 5:1, "Therefore, having been justified," or declared right, or upright by faith, "we have peace with God." Romans 3:24, "being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus." When Jesus paid the price for your sins, God could then say, when you by faith through His grace believed, He is right now. He is just in my sight. He is declared to be right. But that's when we were initially justified. Now we are being sanctified, and He is actually making us behave right, righteously, or just, right? That's what he's doing. And ultimately, when Christ comes to die, we will be righteous in every way. Declares us righteous, starts making us righteous, and we will be righteous, practically. This is what God is doing through Christ right now. And oh, how the modern church has missed the plan of God in Christ. Very rarely do we hear what God is really doing from His Word in His body right now. And by His grace, we see it here in Titus and in many other passages. Folks, we need to have the Word preached. It is what He uses to renew our minds, to bring about a changed life. It is the equipping of the saints for the works of service. And we see in Scripture that all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for correction or reproof, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate equipped for every good work. It is God's Word He uses to do this process. This is why we need the Word preached and taught in every way, and that's why we do it here, so that we may be changed by it and thus deny sin and live righteously. You can't do it. God says older men do this, older women do that, younger men do this, younger women do this. You can't do it apart from the grace of God working through the Word of God through the life of a yielded believer that is changed. Let me ask you this. Do you come to the Word of God in your personal study? Do you come to the Word of God in a sermon, preaching at church? Do you come to the Word of God recognizing present tense that He is instructing you and training you so that you will say no to those things and yes, and ultimately that you might live righteously right now? That's what He's doing. This is called sanctification. That we might live right before man as God changes us. And it happens through the Word of God. John 17:17, as Jesus prays, He says, sanctify them in thy word is truth. Paul makes it clear that sanctification comes through, or Peter does also in 1 Peter chapter 2. It is that Word. We should long for the pure milk of the Word that we may grow in respect to salvation. We were justified. We're going to grow in respect to that salvation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, we see that it was the Word of God that now, present tense, performs its work in us. It is the Word of God that convicts us of our unrighteousness.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, for that person listening today who's struggling with their thought life, what would you tell them?
You know, Dave, first and foremost, I would say make sure that you're in the faith. If you haven't trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, repenting of your sin, you cannot control your thought life. You're still a prisoner to sin, but Jesus Christ will set you free. But for those of us who are saved, we need to get our thought lives under control. And the way we need to do that is in accordance with God's Word. We need to be renewing our minds. Otherwise, we're going to be conformed to the way we used to think. We're going to be conformed to this world. So get in the Word, study it, meditate it. Make the Word of God your top priority each day. Renew your mind, hold every thought captive. And secondly, there are things that are threats to keeping our minds focused on the Word. And there are many things that we can set our hearts and minds on a day-to-day basis that are not good. David says in Psalm 101, verse 3, I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. So if you're struggling with your thought life, maybe you need to take some radical steps to bring it under control. And that can be as simple as cutting out the distractions and increasing your time in God's Word. And brother and sister, when you allow your mind to be controlled by Christ, you'll be amazed at what God does in your life.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has Equipping the Saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.